Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America, coming up after As It Is. Hello and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember in Washington. Today on our program, we report on efforts by one group to improve education in Myanmar, also known as Burma. The government has carried out many reforms since parliamentary elections and the end of military rule in 2011. But education remains a big issue, especially in rural areas. Jerry Watson will have more on the story later in the program. But we begin with a report about Syria. The United Nations has warned that Syrian children are suffering as a result of the country's three-year-long conflict. The UN says many of the children have developed emotional problems, are separated from their parents, and are not in school. Milagros Ardim has this report.
The United Nations says more than 1 million Syrian children are registered with its refugee agency, the UNHCR. Most of them now live in Lebanon and Jordan. These boys and girls may have escaped from the fighting, but they continue to suffer the effects of war. The UN agency says 75% of the 1,100,000 children it has registered are under the age of 12. The agency is urging international donors to increase financial support to refugee families. It says the money could in turn help displaced children. Brian Hansford is a spokesman for the UNHCR.
It illustrates, the immense suffering, and we're talking here of psychological distress, withdrawal, anger, loneliness, fractured families, and widespread use of child refugees as labor.
The UN report noted efforts to keep Syrian refugee children in school, but as of September, it said more than 100,000 of those in Jordan were not attending classes, and it said twice that number could be out of school in Lebanon. Disabled children are said to be having an even harder time. Many children, especially boys, are out of school because their families need them for work. Brian Hansford says the report found that 10% of Syrian refugee children in the area are working for a living. Many work long hours in dangerous conditions.
One child interviewed, he was burned by hot oil in a restaurant, for example. Another cut his hand while fixing a car mirror, and the third was beaten by the son of his boss.
Refugee babies are also at risk, often lacking necessary documents. That is because babies born in Syria are not registered if their families fled the country or if they were born as refugees in Lebanon or Jordan. Mr. Hansford said the lack of a birth certificate can create problems for these children later in life.
A birth certificate is a vital document to protect against risks such as statelessness. And so without a birth certificate, people can have difficulties later in enrolling in schools or getting health care and other services.
The report also found that many Syrian children are growing up without one or both parents. More than 70,000 Syrian refugee families live without fathers, and nearly 4,000 refugee children are living without or are separated from both parents. The UN operates centers for these children in refugee camps. The centers provide social services while workers try to reunite the youngsters with relatives. I'm Milagros Ardin.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember. Burma, also known as Myanmar, is one of the poorest countries in the world. The United Nations says people there earn an average of about $460 a year. For more than 20 years, the military ruled the country. During that time, the international community limited assistance to the country because of its record on human rights. Myanmar now has an elected government, and international aid has begun to arrive. But as we hear from Jerry Watson, there are still few resources for education in rural villages.
Bob Cornwell and a group called Build a School in Burma are trying to change that. 3 years ago, he was a financial advisor to several foreign governments. Today, he is building schools in Burma.
We're really trying to help kids on the margin who wouldn't otherwise get an education. And kids not having an education is just a recipe for every kind of personal disaster.
He met some of those children in 2010. He and a friend were traveling from village to village in the northwestern province of Burma.
None of these villages have electricity. Many of them are not really accessible even by road. And lots of kids, maybe like five on average per family, no school.
Bob Cornwell returned to his home in California. Back home, he learned that the cost of building a primary school in Burma was just $15,000 to $20,000. So he sold his interest in a financial consulting company that he had started 25 years earlier and returned to Burma. He looked for villages that would give land and construction help in exchange for a school. Rick Heitzman, an expert on Burmese music, volunteered to help. He had been working on humanitarian and education projects in Burma for more than 20 years. Rick Heitzman is married to a well-known Burmese harpist, Su Wei. They live in San Francisco, California, but they return to Burma often to visit the school projects. Su Wei says the children are excited to learn to read and write, and she says the parents are happy that their children can get an education without having to leave their village.
You know, the school is inside their village nearby, so at least they don't have to worry about taking the kids to the school far away places, you know, like that.
Bob Cornwell says the group works with community leaders.
They have a very good connection to the local people. They understand what the needs are. So having someone who really understands the local situation is crucial. They're on the ground there all the time. So we've really focused on those groups.
Bob Cornwell is applying for grants and asking for donations so he can build more schools. He says spending his retirement years this way has made him happier than he ever imagined he would be. I'm Jerry Watson.
As It is a production of VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember. Thanks so much for listening.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Thank you. Now, the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories. I'm Rich Kleinfeld, with some expressions using the word heart. People believed for a long time that the heart was the center of a person's emotions. That is why the word heart is used in so many expressions about emotional situations. One such expression is to lose your heart to someone. When that happens, you have fallen in love. But if the person who won your heart does not love you, then you are sure to have a broken heart. In your pain and sadness, you may decide that the person you loved is hard-hearted, and in fact, has a heart of stone. You may decide to pour out your heart to a friend. Telling someone about your personal problems can often make you feel better. If your friend does not seem to understand how painful your broken heart is, you may ask her to have a heart. You are asking your friend to show some sympathy for your situation. Your friend has her heart in the right place if she says she is sorry and shows great concern for how you feel. Your friend may, however, warn you not to wear your heart on your sleeve. In other words, do not let everyone see how lovesick you are. When your heart is on your sleeve, you are showing your deepest emotions. If your friend says, "My heart bleeds for you," she means the opposite. She is a cold-hearted person who does not really care about your situation. In the ever-popular motion picture The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man seeks a heart. He wanted to feel the emotion of love and was seeking help from the powerful Wizard of Oz to find a heart. The Cowardly Lion, in the same movie, did have a heart, but he lacked courage and wanted to ask the Wizard of Oz to give him some. You could say that the Cowardly Lion was chicken-hearted. That is another way of describing someone who is not very brave. A chicken is not noted for its bravery. Thus, someone who is chicken-hearted does not have much courage. When you are frightened or concerned, your heart is in your mouth. You might say, for example, that your heart was in your mouth when you ask a bank to lend you some money to pay for a new house. If that bank says no to you, do not lose heart. Be strong-hearted. Sit down with the banker and have a heart-to-heart talk. Be open and honest about your situation. The bank may have a change of heart. It may agree to lend you the money. Then you could stop worrying and put your heart at rest. This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. I'm Rich Kleinfeld.
I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America in VOA Special English. Today we tell about Lady Bird Johnson. She is best known for being the wife of President Lyndon Baines Johnson, who led the nation during the 1960s. But Mrs. Johnson was also an influential environmental activist, tireless campaigner, and successful businesswoman. She showed great strength and heroism during a tense period in American history. Her work to make America beautiful can still be seen today in flowering fields, roads, and parks across the country.
Lady Bird Johnson was born Claudia Alta Taylor in 1912. The Taylor family lived in the small town of Karnak, Texas. Claudia's father, Thomas Jefferson Taylor, owned two stores as well as thousands of hectares for cotton production. Her mother, Minnie Taylor, died when Claudia was only 5 years old. A woman who worked for the Taylor family gave Claudia her nickname. Alice Tittle said the small child was as pretty as a ladybird.
Claudia had two older brothers who went away to school. She spent many hours by herself exploring the natural beauty of the fields and forests near her home. She said she grew up listening to the wind in the pine trees of the East Texas woods. She said her heart found its home in the beauty, mystery, order, and disorder of the flowering earth. Claudia attended public schools and worked hard at her studies, but she was very shy and did not like attention. When she graduated from high school, she had the third highest grades in the class. She reportedly made sure she finished third to avoid giving the graduation speech required by the top two students in the class.
In 1934, Lady Bird graduated from the University of Texas in Austin with degrees in history and journalism. She planned to teach or work as a theater critic. But then she met an energetic congressional assistant named Lyndon Baines Johnson. The young politician from Texas asked her to marry him on their first date. After weeks of pressure from Mr. Johnson, Lady Bird accepted his marriage proposal. Here is Mrs. Johnson talking about her first meeting with her future husband.
We had a breakfast date, but we wound up by spending the whole day together, riding and talking. Well, he really let me know before the day was over that he wanted to marry me. And I thought that this impossible. But on the other hand, there's one thing I knew I just couldn't bear to have happen, and that was to say goodbye. Goodbye, period.
Lyndon Johnson was busy planning his political career. Within 3 years, he ran for a seat in the United States Congress and won. Lady Bird Johnson had given him $10,000 to get his campaign started. When Japanese planes attacked American ships at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, in 1941, Mr. Johnson joined the Navy to fight in World War II. Mrs. Johnson stayed in Washington, D.C., and supervised his congressional office during the 8 months he was away. Her excellent organizational skills and smart political sense made her perfect for the job.
After Mr. Johnson returned, Lady Bird Johnson soon found a new project. She used about $17,000 of family money to buy a small radio station in Austin, Texas. The radio station was in debt and had a small broadcast range. Mrs. Johnson used her husband's connections with the Federal Communications Commission to increase the radio station's power and range. Soon, the station started making money, and the company expanded into television as well. Mrs. Johnson was president of the family company, LBJ Company. She traveled from Washington to Austin every week to take care of business. During this time, the Johnson family started to grow. Lady Bird had a daughter, Linda Bird, in 1944. A second daughter, Lucy Baines, was born 3 years later. Lyndon Johnson's power in politics also continued to grow. In 1948, he was elected to the United States Senate.
In 1960, John F. Kennedy ran for President of the United States with Lyndon Johnson as Vice President. Mrs. Kennedy was unable to travel and campaign for the candidates because of her pregnancy. Mrs. Johnson bravely accepted the job. She visited 11 states to help express the goals of the candidates. They won the election. Mrs. Johnson was also at her husband's side when he visited Texas with President and Mrs. Kennedy on November 22, 1963. After the tragic shooting of President Kennedy in Dallas, security officials led the Johnsons to the presidential plane to fly back to Washington. During the flight, Mrs. Johnson and Mrs. Kennedy watched as Lyndon Johnson was sworn in as President of the United States.
In the weeks after this national tragedy, Lyndon Johnson worked hard to show Americans that he could be a strong president. With his strong support, he got Congress to pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This law banned discrimination based on race, color, religion, or national origin in public places and federal programs. But the law was not popular with many white voters in the southern part of the country. Once again, Lady Bird Johnson came to the rescue. As part of Lyndon Johnson's 1964 campaign for president, she became a spokesman for the law. Lady Bird Johnson visited important southern states, although Democratic governors feared for her safety. She traveled through poor areas, talking to angry crowds who were against her husband's civil rights policies. Lady Bird Johnson knew how to give a powerful and expressive speech. She won over the loud crowds with her gentle manner and calming southern accent. She told them that it was time to end the South's racist past and move into the modern world. The media later wrote that she stood as a fearless moral representative of her husband. And her work paid off. Lyndon Johnson won the election.
The historian Lewis Gould has said Mrs. Johnson and her press secretary, Liz Carpenter, were the first to establish the job of the modern First Lady. Mrs. Johnson realized that the wife of the president needed to have her own team of workers. She made sure she had a director of employees as well as a social director. Lady Bird Johnson's business experience and sense of organization helped create a very effective system for future First Ladies and their causes.
As First Lady, Mrs. Johnson became an energetic activist for educational and environmental issues. She helped support Head Start, a public program aimed at giving educational and health services to young children from poor families. She started the Society for a More Beautiful National Capital. Its aim was to improve the beauty of Washington by planting trees and flowers in public areas and parks. Mrs. Johnson understood that these improvements were also linked to important issues such as pollution, public transportation, mental health, and crime rates.
But she is most well known for helping to create the Beautification Act of 1965. It aimed to protect America's natural beauty by limiting advertising signs and cleaning up waste areas on the country's roads and highways. The law also supported the planting of local flowers and trees. Here is Mrs. Johnson talking about her environmental efforts.
Clean water, clean up the rivers, wilderness areas, more national parks. All of that was a part of our aim and thrust and what we tried to do. I've had a lifelong love affair with nature, a particular accent on wildflowers, native plants, for the whole broad face of America. I hope everybody could enjoy their little piece of America as much as I have enjoyed mine.
Lyndon Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson had a difficult 4-year term. The president faced strong opposition about the United States' involvement in the war in Vietnam. In 1968, President Johnson surprised the nation by announcing that he would not seek re-election as president. The Johnsons left politics and returned home to Texas. Mr. Johnson died of a heart attack in 1973.
Lady Bird Johnson continued her tireless work to improve the country's natural environment. She created the National Wildflower Research Center in 1982. The center helps to educate people about the environmental importance and value of native plants. Mrs. Johnson died in 2007 at the age of 94. Her memory lives in the many fields of wildflowers that color the roads of America.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway.
This program was written and produced by Dana Demange. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Steve Ember. You can download scripts and audio of our programs at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English. This land was made for you.